From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. In Lee Hirsch's documentary film, Alex, a 12-year-old kid from Sioux City, Iowa, is being bullied. What's extraordinary about the film is that we see it. Hirsch captures some of these painful moments on a school bus, and no one really knows what to do. Not the school administrators, not his parents. And when you don't know what to do, you ask the most nonsensical question, as Alex's mother does here. Why are you being bullied?
Does it make you feel good when they punch you? Or kick you? Or stab you? Do these things make you feel good?
I don't know. I'm starting to think I don't feel anything anymore.
Today in the program, we continue our series on documentary film. We're profiling Lee Hirsch's documentary, which is raising questions and conversations around the country. It's called Bully. Join us after the news. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. When word got out that we were talking to Lee Hirsch today, the director of the acclaimed and powerful documentary Bully, we received an email from a woman named Marceline. She told us about her 15-year-old daughter, reasonably popular soccer player, she said, who had attempted suicide because of bullying. She told us about the Facebook comments of kids in her school who had urged her daughter to kill herself. No one, Marceline wrote, is immune to this. Bullying is the most common form of violence experienced by young people in this country, and everywhere you go, you'll encounter it. Popular kids, vulnerable kids, kids perceived as unpopular or seen as misfits, they're bullied. And it doesn't matter the race or the class or the place. 30 million American kids will be bullied in this country this year. Today in the program, we're continuing our series on documentary film, and we have with us here in the studio Lee Hirsch, the director of Bully. Hirsch spent about a year with a number of families affected by this most common form of violence for young people in the country, and we're talking about the film, profiling it. We invite you to join us, 801-585-WEST, the number, our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Lee Hirsch is director, writer, and producer of Bully. In 2002, he debuted his first film, Amandla, a revolution in four-part harmony. It's about South Africa's struggle against apartheid through music. It won the Audience and Freedom of Expression Awards at Sundance. The film also won an Emmy. Bully, as I said, is being shown in theaters around the country. Lee Hirsch, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
It's great to be back.
I wanted to, start this way, and I know you've talked about this some, but you've described the film as deeply personal, that you yourself were bullied in middle school. And you said that one of the things that kept you from actually moving forward on the film in these early days was that you weren't exactly sure you wanted to go and revisit that part of your life. Mm. It was that powerful for you, that kind of traumatic, that difficult?
Yeah, I think it is. It's funny, we got a an email the other day from someone in their 90s.
Wow.
Who was describing in the most vivid detail their experience of being bullied and the name of the bully and what they wore. And, you know, I think that you do carry those memories in a profound way. And perhaps one of the reasons why the film is resonating is that I think we didn't feel like we really had an opportunity or an invitation to be able to talk about those experiences.
Yeah.
Because it was so like other things that over time we've really changed our perceptions around as a society, this one was still shrouded in shame and silence. And feeling like, well, am I just whining here?
Yeah.
Do I really have a right? You know, and so, yeah. I mean, it's funny when as comfortable as I've come now with talking about the film, and you know, you get your talking points, and after you've done 50 interviews, you find yourself rolling into the same answers sometimes. I always pause when I'm asked about my experiences because it's just still very hard to go back there and. And actually, lots of them, I don't even have memory. I've like blocked the memory. And people tell me about things, and I'm like, oh wow, like that happened. Ooh. So yeah, it's a landscape that was really personal, and it's a project that I picked up and put down and picked up and put down and for many, many years.
But what was the clincher to pick it up again and say, I'm going to go for it? I got to do this.
You know, I think it was having. very strong co-producer that was willing to do it with me. I think it was feeling like I'd reached a point in my life where I was ready. And then, you know, it's like akin to, I was remembered, like, at one point I bought like a blue Honda Civic. And suddenly you're like, God, there's like blue Honda Civics everywhere. There's so many of these. Like, geez, I didn't realize, you know, you just notice, like, once you delve into something, and particularly with bullying, you realize just how collective and how many people are struggling with this. And so, you know, once we started, the urgency became very, very real.
Did you know in the early days how you wanted the film to play out? I mean, did you have a sense of what you wanted from it?
I knew what I wanted from it. I did not know how it would play out.
Yeah.
I knew that I wanted to capture bullying. I wanted to actually put it on film so that after viewing the movie, that there would be hopefully some form of agreement from our audiences.
Because you would show it to us.
Because you would have to face it, and you would say, this isn't just kids will be kids, and this isn't just a rite of passage. That by showing it, by giving it a face, by giving it a frame, it would go a long way to defeating some of those perceptions. So that I knew. When the project started, it was going to be a much bigger look. It was going to be much more intellectual. And I tend to do this a lot with my work, is I think very big and I overcompensate and I speak to experts and I...
What do you mean? Like, so the nature of bullying, the essence of bullying.
The nature of bullying, and who are we as a society, and how does this, you know, is this affected by reality TV, and, you know, it goes on to the workplace, and it extends to the halls of Congress, and it, you know, plays out in between countries, and, you know, all that bigger analysis. And once we started to work with the families and to really see the narrative thrust, and just everything else kind of fell away, and... we started to understand where the heart of our film would live.
Because, you know, I wondered about that do you think of the film as this, you know, this just a sort of jumping off point for a conversation about this big issue, or as a piece of art, you know, as this film? And I guess, I mean, how do you distinguish between the two? Because now it is. People are talking about it, but it's not the experts, you know. There's not these deep answers put out there. Characters.
I think it's a film. I mean, first and foremost, it's a work of art that I'm really proud of as an artist and as a filmmaker. You know, when I think of for me, you know, it was a big leap because I shot the movie, and it was often myself and my producer, but probably by and large, it was me alone. Producer, you know, doing sound, directing, just, you know, something would happen and I would get on Priceline and book a hotel car flight combination, wouldn't know what flight I'd have to be on, and just get somewhere for, you know, be there and be like $600 for a week for everything, and I'd just be there. And so that very immediate form of filmmaking was very new to me, and really empowering, and I really liked that. But I do, you know, I think that there's a possibility that, and this has happened in time with other movies, where you can combine art with a message. And that's great.
Yeah.
You know.
But it seems like you have to start with the art, though, right?
Well, yeah, because if I'd made a crap film, then you wouldn't be talking to me today.
Exactly.
You know, it wouldn't have been accepted to a film festival, and it wouldn't have been bought by a distributor, and the machine that makes something like this grow wouldn't have happened for us. So, you know, but a lot of the talk about the art or the film itself got lost in, you know, a lot of the journalism about the film isn't about the film. It's about people's own memories and the landscape and the issue, and that's fine.
Sure.
And I think that to the extent that we've helped amplify this issue, amplify people's personal connections to it. And I actually think over the last 5, 6, 7 weeks, I've really seen a change in the national discourse. And so that's great, you know, because part of me started all this as an activist. And, you know, it's just been awesome. And so they're connected, but they're different.
You came in contact with a lot of these different families through the process, and it was, I guess, a lot of it was the research process where people were reaching out, those kinds of things. And I wanted to ask you about Kirk and Laura Smalley.
Mm.
Their 11-year-old son Ty had been the victim of bullies; he killed himself. And you first met them on the day of their son's funeral, which you've described. I wanted you to talk about this, if you can,
sure,
as a profoundly quiet experience.
Well, I think nothing can prepare you for meeting someone or a family, a community that's deeply grieving, particularly the mother and father. And I met them the morning of the funeral because we just learned about it and were able to reach the funeral director, because they had talked about the bullying and how, you know, how we knew that that was the link. And the message came back from Kirk Smalley to come on down and we welcome you. But that emotional negotiation of production and solidarity and just finding my place in that moment was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. And, you know, there are journalists that are very used to this, that, you know, sure, something will happen and they'll have them on and they'll just be like, so, you know, tell us about, you know. And for me, it just was like just very difficult and very moving too, because, you know, he had decided to allow this. So when we met, we shook hands and I expressed my grief and told him that I had been bullied as a kid. We had a very quick conversation. He said, what do you need? And I said, I just need you to wear this microphone. And then the day unfolded and we wept. It was very, very hard to shoot. And at the end, just after they'd lowered the casket, he came up to me and he handed me the mic. He says, you're done now. We're done now. Now go hurry up. Hurry up and finish your movie and get it out there. And that was our last words. So we met again, and it was, you know, it was a very, very hard day.
You know, Kirk Smalley is such a powerful figure. There's something really kind of eloquent and profound about the guy. I mean, he's a sort of, you know, blue-collar guy, you know, but there's something kind of, there's a kind of philosopher in there somewhere too, and he's a kind of remarkable person. I wanted to play a clip from these early days when you're talking to Kirk Smalley, just to give people a sense of what he's like, from the film Bully.
We're just a couple of simple people, you know. We're nobodies. I guarantee you if some politician's kid did this because he was getting picked on in a public school, you know, there'd be a law tomorrow. There'd be changes made tomorrow. You know, we're nobody. But we love each other and we loved our son.
It's a remarkable moment. I just think because of... I don't know, he's surprising as a figure. I don't know why. Just right, because you know, he just didn't expect him.
And I think that that's the beauty of this movie.
Yeah.
Is how eloquent and powerful our people are in our country. You know, That particular clip resonates with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people can hear that and feel that way and have felt that way in their lives for lots of reasons, not always having endured that kind of tragedy.
Yeah.
But that's one of those lines that just actually brings it home.
Yeah.
And really talks about the urgency and to me, you talk about you mentioned the filmmaking a little bit. Like, I feel like this film is in its own way very patriotic. It's a strange love song to America. And moments like that really amplify that for me.
Well, what I loved about it is I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know his politics. I didn't have a sense about necessarily the way he thought about some things, but I felt like I connected him on that level. And I thought, you know, and I think if people can connect, as they do with a lot of the other people in the film, that's great.
Yeah, you know, this is a film that has no politic in it. You know, not many documentaries are able to live in this country without being branded as propaganda for one side or the other. And I think that's one of the powerful and wonderful things about what's happened for this movie, is that it's been taken to heart by people from all walks and all political persuasions, and you know, from evangelical Christians to progressive Jews in Boston. You know, it's this sort of, it's ranged so powerfully. One of the breakthrough moments for me was being invited to be on Governor Mike Huckabee's show. And when I met him, he just hugged me and said, "This movie shook me to my core." And he since had me back on his radio show, wrote an op-ed for us about our rating crisis issue, and actually called me on my cell phone out of the blue to say that his son had just watched the film and called him and talked to him about how he was bullied in seventh grade and they'd never had that conversation before, and he needed to process. So, you know, it's been, that part has been extraordinary. And, you know, it's so great to see this film playing in places like Salt Lake City or Cedar Falls in Iowa or Sioux City and Sioux Falls. You know, it's reached the multiplex. That doesn't happen very often for a documentary. So, and you mentioned the two screenings today, but I do want to let folks know that we are in, I think, three theaters throughout the area, which is terrific.
We'll put links to that, by the way, on our website so people can find it. Absolutely. Lee Hirsch is with us, director, writer, producer of Bully. The film has been held over at the Broadway Cinemas. We'll give details about where you can see the film, KUER.org/Radio West. We'll take a break. Back in a moment. This is Radio West on KUER and Sirius XM Public Radio. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we continue our series on documentary film. We have with us here in the studio Lee Hirsch, the director of the powerful and troubling new film. It's called Bully, being shown throughout theaters throughout the country. So I wanted to ask you about Alex.
Sure.
I guess in some ways, that as I understand it, you're sort of figuring out how the film's going to take shape. And at some point, it must have occurred to you, all right, this is kind of the story that I'll build everything around. Is that right?
No.
No.
I mean, we found our movie in the edit. We knew that Alex was absolutely a central character.
That's interesting.
But
you didn't know till later.
But to the extent that, it wasn't really until early in the edit that, you know, we decided that actually, they're not going to be equal stories, but that this is the central story, and that's how the structure started to fall together. It's a remarkable story. It has, you know, it has a three act It's a full three-act structure.
Sure.
And he is just the most remarkable kid. You know, I'm so proud. I'm like so proud of him today because he's very different now than he was then, and very confident and happy, and has a voice and has friends, and it's just complete transformation from the kid we met on the first day of school, sitting by himself with the world kind of just ignoring him completely.
It's amazing. There's a kind of vacancy in his eyes in the film that you see. You know, it's wondering where, you know, you're wondering what he's thinking about, where he is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he has Asperger's. And, you know, one of the things that we learned in this journey of this film is that, you know, kids with learning disabilities on the spectrum with IEPs in schools are just perhaps the most high-risk group that there is for bullying. And that there hadn't really been a lot of research, not research, but forward-facing resources for those kids and families to really navigate the bullying thing. And I often wondered if it was because those communities spent so long fighting to mainstream their kids in the first place that the sort of some of the repercussions of that were a bit painful to swallow. But we worked really hard with four big organizations, the National Center for Learning Disabilities, Autism Speaks, and PACER and Ability Path to develop. And if you're listening and you're a parent, a really extraordinary set of resources for parents of kids with special needs that you can find on our website at the www.thebullyproject.com. But it's one of the things that I'm most proud of was that, you know, we've little ways we keep moving the bar, but that was getting those organizations to really rally and to start to communicate differently to their constituents about bullying was really important, and something that I think was long overdue.
There are a couple of these moments, actually, when you're on the school bus and you're actually filming these moments when Alex is being bullied. How did you personally react to that? I mean, I'm trying to imagine what it was like for you, someone who had been through this experience himself. I mean, how difficult must that have been to not want to intervene? Eventually you
We didn't. Well, we did intervene, and we stopped the movie, and we knowing that we may never go back to the school after that moment.
Wow.
But Alex wanted people to know what he was going through. Alex chose to be part of this film. Everyone in the movie chose. And to me, they were more partners than characters or subjects.
Yeah.
And I've always had that kind of relationship with the subject, the people that you meet in my films.
Right.
And so there were lots of things going through my mind. There was, I can't believe this is happening. There's, what do I do?
Yeah.
There's, is it safe for me to intervene right now? Probably like lots of people feel in the face of bullying. And then there was also the feeling of, well, you know, we actually now can see what happens. And I knew in my heart during those moments that Alex knew that I was there and I had his back.
Yeah.
And my presence in his life was of someone that had his back in a profound way. And that the whole movie was an act of intervention. So it was a complicated situation, and you know, I hope that ultimately what I did was right. I'll never know for sure. You never know for sure, but I think that it was much more important for the family to understand what was happening in the school than for me to sort of jump in and kind of create more chaos.
Yeah. The thing that's, and we'll talk about how administrators deal with all of this or don't, or what they make of it. One thing that comes across, though, is that in a lot of these cases, parents don't get it right either, even with their best intentions. And there's a moment, I want to play this moment, and Alex's mother, you've told her what's going on.
Yeah, she's one of the really heartbreaking scenes.
Yeah, and she doesn't know what to do or what to make of it. And so the thing that she does is she asks Alex, like, what are you doing? Which I think is a – let's play this moment if we could and have you talk about this from the film Bully.
I would have never guessed in a million years it was that bad. Do you understand that at some point you've gotten used to this? And I'm not. I'm not used to it because I didn't know. And I'm not about to get used to it. Does it make you feel good when they punch you? Or kick you? Or stab you? Do these things make you feel good?
No. Well, I don't know. I'm starting to think I don't feel anything anymore.
I don't understand, Alex. Friends are supposed to make you feel good. That's the point of having them. It's someone else on the planet you can connect with. Your only connection to these kids is that they like to pound on you.
If you say these people are my friends, then what friends do I have?
That it's so tough. Because it's not the wise mother knowing this, and you know, she does not know what to do.
There's no central casting in documentaries. There's no perfect families. There's no... This is, like, to me, this is a scene and a moment that is so full of love and like, at its core, it's heartbreaking, but knowing that family, it's so beautiful. And like, when I hear it and I hear each of them, I just think about how much I love them. and just that process, that moment for both, you know, they were both going through transformation at that moment in a profound way. And something moved powerfully between mother and child in those minutes. And I think that it just, you know, we once talked to somebody once, and they were looking at some of our footage. Said, well, you can't have this family. They're just getting it wrong. Or you can't have this family. Or I was like, are you kidding me? Like, this family is so full of love and so real. And, you know, that is who we are. I mean, we're striving to figure this stuff out. And at the flip side, to, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've teared up when Alex says, I don't know if I feel anything anymore. And his finally being able to really talk about the hurt that the bullying has been, how that's impacted him. You know, because I think, you know, bullied kids come up with so many strategies for how to survive. I mean, people say they're weak. I say they're strong.
Yeah.
I say they're really strong. They're like the strongest kids around because they endure torture. And we don't acknowledge them for their strength. And in a way, I think that's one of the reasons also why this film has resonated, because it kids that have been bullied, adults that have been bullied, say thank you because you've told our story. And that's really meaningful.
I want to talk to you about what I find is one of the most interesting characters, people in the film. It's the vice principal at Alex's school. It's this woman named Kim Lockwood. And she's such a complicated figure. And she'll come across as – I want to play a moment. There's a moment early on. This is another kid who's that come in and they've had a tussle, a kid named Cole. He's being bullied by someone on the playground. And she is trying to get them together. But she's not acknowledging that Cole has been beaten up and really bullied by this kid time after time after time. She may know it. She doesn't know what to do about it, and she figures a handshake will do it. But she's more complicated than this, you know. But it's really interesting. Let me play this moment from the film again. Bully.
Cole, stay right here. Right here. I'm going to ask you guys to shake hands. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Shake hands. Cole. Cole.
What?
You are not going anywhere. He is offering his hand, and let this drop. You may go. Cole, I expected more.
Because he criticizes me every single day.
Then why are you around him?
I don't. He comes to me. I try and get away from him. He follows me.
Okay.
And he criticizes me, calling me a P-U-S-S-Y.
Okay, honey, that's not right, and he shouldn't do that.
I don't even know
but
why.
You know what? He was trying to say he was sorry.
He already did, and he didn't mean it. We had you know to continue what? On.
You didn't mean it when you stuck your hand out either. So that means you're just like him, right? What you don't like in him...
Because I don't hurt you, people.
By not shaking his hand, you're just like him.
You're like someone who pushes you into a wall, threatens to break your arm, threatens to stab you and kill
okay.
you.
He apologized. And have you reported all that sort of stuff?
Yes.
Okay, then it's been taken care of.
And all of them said, even the cops said, told him to stay away from me.
Okay.
And he doesn't.
All right. Can you try to get along? I think you guys might be really good friends at some time.
We were. And they started bullying me.
We were talking off air there for a moment. And I have to say, I had this reaction. I went and saw the film with my wife. Talking loudly to the screen. You say you get this reaction.
Yeah, this is. There's a couple scenes in the film where audiences will gasp, and you can feel it. You can seriously feel it in the room, in the cinema. And it's like. The little moments that happen all the time that are what creates school climate and school culture and the messaging. And there's lots of things that work in that scene.
Yeah.
There's the mistaking bullying for conflict.
Right.
There's the rush to judge. There's the simple solution. There's also the disconnect and the distrust between youth and adults.
Yeah.
And this is something that repeats itself in the film, is this notion of, well, you know, do you trust me that when you report something it'll be taken care of? And the kids universally say no.
Yeah.
And they've lost faith. So they've lost faith in being able to find someone in their building to stand for them and mean it and follow through. And so, you know, that's one of the scenes that, you know, I believe educators across the country will sit and talk about for a long time and say, do we do this? You know, and a wise man once said, you know, a great educator said after viewing the film, that an administrator said, if we're to be honest, there's not a one of us that hasn't made that mistake in our buildings, that hasn't rushed to judgment, that hasn't, you know, so it's easy to sort of, you know, get on the, like, fire Kim Lockwood train.
Exactly.
And I reject that completely.
Yeah.
Because this is a work in progress that we're all on. And I'm very proud of our partnerships with the Sioux City Schools, with education organizations, the unions, we have 27 national partners on this film that could have said, you know what, no, that rather, you know, said, let's see the opportunity here to, you know, I think that's where, you know, if you circle back to like film, art versus movement versus social change,
yeah.
You know, like ultimately my job is to create something that is a catalyst. And then allow these partners and all these other great organizations to use it to advance their work. And so to that end, you know, we're working with the University of Northern Iowa, we're working with the Harvard Graduate School of Education and teaching colleges and trying to, you know, understand and create tools and resources so that film like this can be a powerful piece of professional development.
What's remarkable, though, about Kim Lockwood is, I think, the fact that you don't want her to become a villain in any way, and she shouldn't be, but that she let you show this stuff. You know, she exposed herself in a lot of ways. And you've talked about before, you had a screening in Sioux City.
Mm-hmm.
And she got up in front of everyone and she apologized.
Yeah.
Do you want to say something about that?
I like love Sioux City and first of all, let's backtrack to what an extraordinary gift they gave me, our team, this country, by allowing themselves to be vulnerable, by allowing their dirty laundry to be aired. There's not a lot of districts around that would agree to that. And knowing well that we were making a film about bullying,
yeah,
and that they might see things that make them uncomfortable and unhappy. And I think that's where courage and change happens, is saying we're willing to take that risk because it might make us better. It's hard for me because, you know, I think a lot of the anger that people feel in this movie lands on her shoulders. And I didn't see that coming. There's lots of things you don't know about your movie until it's in the world. And it's just really hard. And I think for her, it's been really hard. And we did. We screened it for 1,600 people for free in Sioux City. And she came to the screening and sat through the screening. And, you know, because we talked about those moans and the audible yells from the audience. And so I asked everybody, please, 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 there's people in your community that are in this film, that are in this room. Please be respectful. And the audience was respectful. And at the end of the screening, she stood up and she spoke to the community in a very powerful way, and they applauded her.
Wow.
And you know, it's just been an extraordinary journey. I do struggle with that, and I can't change it. There was nothing I could have added that would have taken away the response that the audience has. And so ultimately you have to live with what you shoot and what your movie is, but it's been really hard because, you know, I care about her too.
Yeah.
And developed a relationship with her over the course of a year, and it's tough making documentaries. It's tough being in documentaries.
Lee Hirsch, director, writer, producer of Bully. The film has been held over at the Broadway cinemas. And we'll tell you, if you're not in the Utah area, of course, where you can see the film in your area. Information of all of this, along with links to the anti-bullying resources, the website that Lee Hirsch mentioned. It's on our website, KUER.org/Radio West. We're going to take another break. This is Radio West on KUER and Sirius XM Public Radio. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're continuing our series on documentary film Through the Lens. Lee Hirsch is with us. He is in town to talk about his new film, Bully. And go to our website, by the way. You can find out where you can see Bully in your area. Lee Hirsch, I wanted to ask you about, so did you ever think that, because I know you get this question all the time, well, what about the bullies? I mean, how should we hear about the, you know, I mean, did you ever think that the story would be incomplete without the stories of the bullies? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and we looked to talk to bullies, and it's like one of those funny things, like they kind of present like little angels when you start talking to them. That archetypal bully doesn't really exist. So many misconceptions about who are bullies and what are bullies, and it has so much to do with the building and the culture and the world in which they live and what's cool and what's not cool and what's honored and what's not honored. And but I think early on I realized that the voice of this film was in the families and kids that deal with it. And so you see bullies from their perspective. You see, it's the point of view of the film became clear to me. And so I don't think the movie is lacking that.
Yeah.
Others do. Critics do in some parts. And that's life. It's a film. And it's a film that we made.
But this idea of being, I have to say, one of the most kind of affecting scenes in the film for me was this moment when Ty's friend, this is Kirk and Laura's son who killed himself. He's age 11. Ty's friend is showing Kirk around this field where he and Ty had the secret hiding place. It's a lovely moment, I have to say, that whole sequence where Kirk isn't saying anything really and he's just sort of following this. What's his name?
Trey.
Trey. Following Trey around. It's so beautiful. But then there's this moment where the whole film kind of stopped for me in this moment when Trey makes this confession, which was kind of jaw-dropping for me in some way. And all of a sudden I started thinking about it in another way. Let's play another moment. This is from the film Bully.
Bullying's not cool. And I'll tell you, in the second grade, I tried to fit in with so many people that I was probably the biggest bully in the whole school when I was in second grade. But once I got into third, I started to realize what a jerk I was being to kids and what it could do. And then in fourth, I really started realizing that it's going to hurt someone. So I decided to be cool with everyone. Even when people would bully him, I'd get so angry and I think I could have hurt those kids so bad that done something to them. Like, they'll push them down, say, shut up, spaz, or throw them into a locker or shove them into one. And I just, like, go to take off after them. He'd be like, Trey, it's not worth it. Be better than them. It's all right. And then walk off with a smile. And I don't know how he could do it. He was way stronger than I was.
Amazing kid.
He's such an amazing kid. Yeah. And the fact that he confesses this, and that the thing I wondered about then was, oh, you know, and how are people reacting to that moment? Because I wonder if part of the appeal of this isn't just that you were bullied, but maybe you were a bully, or maybe you had been a part of it. You know what I mean? Isn't that part of the reason that this is so affecting as a movie?
It's if I was king of the United States, there would be no popularity.
Yeah, yeah.
People, you know. I certainly think it's one of the moments of just magic or joy, and it comes out of such a dark moment in the film that it does, you know, it does wonders for the audience because they just need something some hope, and then you see this incredible kid, 11-year-old kid, who's actually wiser than most of our friends. And more honest, and yeah. It's just a wonderful, wonderful moment. And you know, I think all of the kids in this movie are really, really special and really extraordinary. And you will root for them. And you know, we just had a screening. Matt, you know, all these crazy things are happening. All you know, it's just been a whirlwind.
Yeah, I bet.
But one of the things is that, like, within a week, a screening was organized for 7,000 students at once in Los Angeles. Kids from almost every school across the Los Angeles area. I mean, it was like 500 buses or something. It was insane. And first of all, you could hear a pin drop through the whole movie. They were completely in it, 7,000. You would think that would just be like a recipe for disaster.
That's
on
true.
One level. And then as the movie started to arc to its end, they started cheering for Alex. They started cheering for Kelby. They started, you know, I won't spoil it, but there's a wonderful scene that's a very subtle scene that marks a change for Alex of acceptance and friendship that's quintessentially middle school.
Yeah. One of my favorite moments, by the way.
Yeah. And they just cheered. I mean, like 7,000 kids started cheering. And, you know, so that, you know, that's, those are some of the things that are really extraordinary.
Do you think that any of this has given you any kind of insight that you maybe didn't have about, you know, about human nature? Like why we would be inclined to do this? Like,
I'm much more interested in the part of human nature that's about change. I'm less interested in the pieces of which drive us to our darker angels, but more interested in the extraordinary acts of leadership and empathy and the willingness and capacity of people to open their hearts and look for local solutions to problems. I mean, I think that that's, that activation component is something that I've continued to seek insights on. Mm.
There's a, let me play another moment. This is Kelby's father. We should describe, I guess, that Kelby has come out to her. She lives in a deep in the South, Tuttle, Oklahoma.
Really small town.
It's a really small town. She comes out to her family as being gay, and which has consequences at school, but also it's left her family ostracized, really.
And totally ostracized.
And it's and her father, whom, you know, he says this at one moment. Let me play this from the film Bully.
I never knew what the saying, you don't know what a person's been through until you walk a mile in their shoes. I never really understood the depth of that meaning until I had a gay child. It has made me completely reevaluate who and what I am as a human being. To see the ugliness that has come out.
That was a powerful moment too. Just this idea that this is, it transforms Kirk. It transforms, you know, to Tyler's family. That's the thing. And I think that, I guess the idea is that, I mean, you've talked about how you see this kind of tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
Going on, and how what really needs to happen is that people's hearts and minds have got to be changed.
Sure, and for me that is when you reach beyond the sort of already converted, then that's when that starts to happen. You know, I talked about Huckabee.
Yeah.
2 days ago, I just learned that Rush Limbaugh went off for quite some time about how the film moved him and how he was totally pre-inclined to, like, absolutely hate it.
Another bleeding heart liberal or whatever.
Another bleeding heart liberal movie and, you know, God, you know, I just knew this was going to be this crap, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, by the end of his piece, he's like, we have to hold schools accountable. And this, you know, it was just extraordinary. And that, you know, he basically said that this film shattered. And he said something powerful. He said, you know, he said, and then I thought, oh, why did he choose these towns like Tuttle, Oklahoma? And, you know, he's just going to make these, you know, what is he saying? You know, we're all just these hicks and blah, 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 blah. And he says, actually, the reason why these towns were chosen, which isn't exactly correct, but in his take on it was because these people can't move. If you live in a small, in a big city, there's 10 options for schools. There's a charter school. They are stuck.
Yeah.
And they have to send their kids to school. And he got it on this, like, deep level. Sean Hannity loved the film, had the family on, had David and Tina Long on. I spent a morning here talking to Howard Stevenson. That was absolutely awesome.
Conservative Utah lawmaker.
But you wouldn't know it from our call because he was just moved by the story. And, you know, as I understand it, is looking into how he can propose some legislation that's going to help move the bar around bullying. So that's great when you can, you know, take the politic out and just people are like, let's just roll up our sleeves and, like, you know, and quite frankly, our country needs something to get together on. And if this is it, well, then that'd be awesome.
Lee Hirsch, director, writer, producer of Bully. The film is running throughout the week and in other places, of course. Go to our website for the details about that. There's more information, including links to resources and a new anti-bullying campaign being planned for Salt Lake City. Visit us at KUER.org/Radio West. Lee Hirsch, thanks very much for
coming.
Hey,
it's been a great time. Thank you.
Radio West, a production of KUER News. Our thanks to the Salt Lake Film Society, also to Patrick Hubley and Geraldine Dreyfus of the Utah Film Center. Our interns are Olivia Davis and Matthew Martin. We have technical direction from Mike Anderson. Radio West produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. I'm Doug Fabrizio.